First of all, it's not Hegseth derangement syndrome to say that a former Fox News host shouldn't be leading the most powerful military in the world. Secondly, Obama had an authorized use of military force over a lot of these post 9/11 airspaces. He could do these strikes.
Pakistan?
But thirdly, finally, the Coast Guard has admitted they interdicted 212 boats since 2024 with no violence, nothing happening. And basically, one in four of those boats, 25% of those boats, had no drugs on them. So I want to ask you, would you be okay striking boats if there is a one in four chance that there's no drugs on the boat, according to the Coast Guard?
We have 60,000 Americans dying a year.
Do you want to answer my question?
No, I'm going to give you some facts.
No, you should answer my question.
You said there's no danger. We have 5,000 Americans dying.
Wait, I didn't say there's no danger. What are you talking about?
We have 5,000 Americans dying a month. We've killed 87 of them.
You don't know what's interesting?
This is
if Donald Trump cared about
that
drugs,
you guys are off the rails. Why are you upset about it?
I'm not upset. I'm upset that Donald Trump claims to care about drugs, yet he pardoned the former Honduran president. And I have to sit across from you that claims Trump is doing this to take care and save Americans. When I ask you a question, I want you to answer.
If there's a 25%.
Hey, everybody, Adam Mockler here. And I am so intent on calling out this administration and the Republican Party's lies on TV. This is another high-stakes CNN debate that I did, and it gets heated at multiple times. So if you want to show support, make sure you drop a like, make sure you subscribe to the feed, and we've got some more great content coming out soon. Thank you all.
I think the two main cost problems for people are housing and healthcare. Those are the two main things. And then food. You could add food as the third
thing.
Food
is for sure, yeah.
So the food thing can be handled in certain ways. It's a lot easier to handle the food aspect than it is the housing and the healthcare. You've got to reduce the regulations, and you've got to increase supply of housing. And you don't do that by having the government come in and go, hey, here's $50,000 here and here and here, and do it.
You also don't do that by taking a lot of people out of the workforce who build houses.
I agree that we need to increase the supply of housing, but everything else you listed, Trump is actively making worse. I mean, the ACA subsidies, they had a lot of chances to help people with healthcare. When it comes to food, beef is skyrocketing. Walking to the grocery store, everything is up, maybe save like eggs, but everything is up. Orange juice, I just read, was up 31%. And Donald Trump's tariffs are disproportionately harming low-income families.
No, they're not.
They absolutely are.
You can
listen
say
to this.
It all day they're not.
Like, lower-income families spend more of their income on consumer goods, and consumer goods are hit disproportionately by tariffs. It's super simple. It's regressive, not progressive. You can't say no, they're not, but you're just denying
right.
Basic
you're
econ.
You're just wrong.
This is econ 101, dude.
I don't think he's wrong.
I'm not.
He is.
Consumer goods. No difference between progressive versus
the tariffs have barely been passed through at all. Those consumer prices are not up at the goods level. They're just not.
Let me just give you an example, a cup of coffee, okay? Mm. Coffee prices have skyrocketed because of tariffs. Regular people who go to the grocery store, they buy coffee for their homes, are paying those prices. And you know why I know that it's the tariffs? Because the Trump administration then turned around and rolled the tariffs back. The U.S. Institute of Peace is now named after Donald Trump. The irony is that the building is now largely empty after his administration essentially dismantled it by way of the Doge chainsaw. Now, it's no secret that Trump is desperate for a Nobel Peace Prize, and at least one of his friends is giving out a participation prize, or perhaps a consolation prize. During the FIFA World Cup draw on Friday, Trump was handed a newly created peace trophy.
This is truly one of the great honors of my life. And beyond awards, Johnny and I were discussing this. We saved millions and millions of lives. The Congo, as an example, over 10 million people killed, and it was heading for another 10 million very quickly. And it just, you know, the fact that we could do that, India, Pakistan, so many different wars that we're able to end, in some cases, a little bit before they started.
Well, brilliant on the part of FIFA, but I don't know. I'm not sure. I don't know. I think FIFA is smart. They know what to do to flatter Trump. They give him this thing that doesn't exist. And no one has ever gotten. No one may ever get again. And here we are.
This may be the most humiliating thing I've ever seen for the United States. Donald Trump is returning our country to a pre-constitutional order where you can give gifts and receive gifts from other countries / companies. And he gives them things in return. We can look at Qatar or a long list of countries / companies. FIFA realized that if they placate Trump's ego and give him this peace prize that he didn't get from Nobel, that he doesn't deserve for any reason, that he'll maybe do them a favor, maybe give them some specialty like locations to do FIFA tournaments in the U.S.
Part of what they want is for Trump to not
interfere. To bother them while they're here.
Not to interfere, yeah. Because yeah. Just this week, the State Department announced that they're going to prioritize World Cup visas. Trump had been threatening to have ICE go to some of these World Cup games. So there are a lot of reasons that FIFA wants him off their
back.
But it
doesn't make any sense to me. And literally what FIFA is about, they gave him a participation trophy. If you work in sports, if you deal with sports, that is almost an insult to give someone a participation trophy. It says you're not capable. You're not really able to do the job. You really don't deserve a Nobel Peace Prize.
It's the greatest honor of his life.
It's the greatest honor of his life. Is anybody fact-checking the millions and 10 millions of lives he saved? The reality is it's disgusting, in my opinion, to give this man a participation trophy when, in fact, what you want to do for FIFA is take everyone from all over the world and you want them to compete for the highest trophy in the land that has the most respect, allegedly, and you turn around and do this. And I understand why you do it, but it makes it all look like a joke. It makes it all look
sad. What do you make of the putting his name, I mean, not just renaming it in text, but literally emblazoning his name on the outside of the building of the U.S. Institute of Peace? It could be seen as a frivolous thing, but some people, even including some conservatives, have described it as a kind of, to use their phrasing, a third world kind of action, where you just slap the dear leader's name on the outside of a building to make him feel better about himself.
Does anybody know what the Institute of Peace does?
They spend $50 million a year.
They train diplomats.
You know what else trains diplomats? The State Department. This is a redundancy that we do not need.
Yeah, but I guess that's fine. But why is his? Why is he putting his name on it?
Because it's a vanity project. For the same reason that he got an institute. By the way, FIFA, a slightly less corrupt institution than the Nobel Committee.
Slightly less.
But marginally less.
But if it does nothing, why would Trump then slap his name on it?
Because it's a vanity play. What is the vanity play? We all know it's a vanity play. Because he likes to see his name up on things, and it's not going to outlast his administration.
And it's a way to troll the left.
And it's a way to troll the left, and they take the bait every time.
I'm glad he's trolling the left while his peace deals are falling through with Israel and Gaza, while Putin is rolling him every single day. While the president of Azerbaijan and Albania are laughing at him for claiming that he did a peace deal with them. I don't know what he's like trying to say.
They actually just signed a peace deal in sub-Saharan Africa in the White House this week. Listen,
that was the same peace deal that they signed a few months ago, but then the war continued
and then the peace deal was signed.
I think the United States needs to be engaged in the world in an extroverted way and engaging with conflicts in an extroverted way, and the fact that the president has incentives to do that, because they are ego-driven, I'm willing to concede, but nevertheless, they keep him engaged in the world in ways that keep America front and center,
Welcome back. A cold case suddenly turns hot after the feds arrest a suspect in that pipe bomb mystery. For the last 5 years, no one knew who planted this device in the nation's capital the night before January 6th. And that didn't stop podcast hosts from pushing conspiracies about it, including the FBI's current deputy director.
There is a massive cover-up because the person who planted those pipe bombs, they don't want you to know who it was, because it's either a connected anti-Trump insider or this was an inside job. This was a setup. I have zero doubt.
Fast forward to now and a dose of truth serum, it seems.
I was paid in the past, Sean, for my opinions. That's clear. And one day I'll be back in that space. But that's not what I'm paid for now. I'm paid to be your deputy director. And we base investigations on facts. The difference between us and them is, you know, we evolve. As information and new inputs come out, we can produce different outputs because that's what we believe in. We believe in facts and investigations guided by facts.
Look, it's worth noting that sources say that the suspect told them that he believes the 2020 election was stolen. That seems to be a very pertinent piece of information here.
So Kash Patel and Don Jr. and Dan Bongino are now on this conspiracy theory treadmill where one gets disproven and they jump to the next. The problem is Dan Bongino, like a bunch of other MAGA commentators, got super rich off of peddling straight lies and is now coming into the friction of actually being in a position of power. There's a chance that he goes and lies more, but think about how many lives he ruined, how many lies he told. He went on a whole like few month campaign about Vance Bolter, about all this stuff. All these lies that he's told will culminate into tricking Americans. I used to go to Trump rallies during his campaign, and I would debate with his supporters. That was my thing, debating his supporters. I'll never forget, there was this one woman with American flag face paint. I asked her who her favorite podcaster was. She said Dan Bongino. I asked her if she would vote for Putin or Kamala if she could choose. She said, I'd vote for Vladimir Putin. Kamala's a traitor to this country. So this is the effect that Dan Bongino is having when he's lying to Americans who just want to love their country. They think they love their country.
Pete Hegseth has signaled for a long time that he's wanted to change these rules of engagement. He has repeatedly downplayed the idea of war crimes, going all the way back to that case involving Eddie Gallagher and those other service members who were being investigated for war crimes. And now the administration, I would actually expect that they would own up to this, but they seem to just be changing their story about what exactly happened here and who was responsible for it, how.
Well, you know, the Democrats, we already know they have Trump derangement syndrome. We didn't know they had another one, which is just Hegseth derangement syndrome, because every time something they don't like happens, they come out and say he should resign, he should be fired. Look, we're taking out drug boats, right? They've done, I think, they've killed 87 people doing this. Obama did hundreds, if not thousands, of bomb attacks all around the world in different countries on land, killing civilians at the time. Now, again, he was going after named terrorists, which is what we're doing there. It's Tren de Aragua is who we're going after. They're a named terrorist group.
Those are the Venezuelan gangs. Are you sure about that? Those are the Venezuelan gangs that run the drugs. I don't know how the administration hasn't said that. But there wasn't outrage
when Obama was doing this all over the world. Hundreds of times. There was outrage,
as I've pointed out many times on this show. But the question that I asked you was, if they want to change the rules of engagement and make it so that these types of attacks are allowed, why not just own up to it? Why are they changing their story constantly about what happened here?
Well, I don't think that people knew exactly what had happened because they weren't there on the ground.
They've had the video for months.
President Trump wasn't there. He wasn't there when this happened. Hegseth said he wasn't in the room when they made the decision. But by the way, they hit the boat the first time and they hit a second. They're obviously trying to kill the people on the boat. That's the whole purpose of bombing.
Okay, a few things. First of all, it's not Hegseth derangement syndrome to say that a former Fox News host shouldn't be leading the most powerful military in the world. Secondly, Obama had an authorized use of military force over a lot of these post 9/11 airspaces. He could do these strikes.
Pakistan?
But thirdly, finally, the Coast Guard has admitted they interdicted 212 boats since 2024 with no violence, nothing happening. And basically, one in four of those boats, 25% of those boats, had no drugs on them. So I want to ask you, would you be okay striking boats if there is a one in four chance that there's no drugs on the boat, according to the Coast Guard?
We have 60,000 Americans dying a year.
Do you want to answer my question?
No, I'm going to give you some facts.
No, you should answer
you
my question.
You said there's no danger. We have 5,000 Americans dying.
Wait, I didn't
dying.
Say there's no danger. What are you talking about?
We have 5,000 Americans dying a month. We've killed 87 of them.
You know what's interesting?
This is
if Donald Trump cared about
you
drugs,
guys are off the rails. Why are you upset about it?
I'm not upset. I'm upset that Donald Trump claims to care about drugs, yet he pardoned the former Honduran president. And I have to sit across from you that claims Trump is doing this to take care and save Americans. When I ask you a question, I want you to answer. If there's a 25% chance that there's no drugs on one of these boats, are you okay with striking them?
Who said there's a 25%?
The Coast Guard.
That's not at the border of Venezuela. We don't have the Coast Guard off the border of Venezuela.
Rand Paul subpoenaed the Coast Guard because they operate in the ocean.
They don't operate off the coast of Venezuela.
But they do operate in a space where these alleged drugs would be coming to the United States, which is actually not necessarily the case off the coast of Venezuela. We don't actually know whether this boat was coming to the United States. But let me get back to this idea of the idea of Pete Hegseth and his allergy to JAG officers. He wrote this in his book this was an instance where he got a briefing from a JAG officer about rules of engagement. He said, "After this briefing, I pulled my platoon together, huddling amid their confusion to tell them, I will not allow that nonsense to filter into your brains. Men, if you see an enemy who you believe is a threat, you engage and destroy the threat. That's a bullshit rule that's going to get people killed. And I will have your back just like our commanders. We are coming home. The enemy will not." There is a video. They've had it for 2 months. They could release it immediately, and they aren't doing that. I think that's extremely telling.
Yeah, the video needs to be released. We need full transparency. And I also want to build on to something. When Pete Hegseth says that the rules of engagement shouldn't really matter as much, that actually puts U.S. troops directly in danger. Senator Tom Tillis had a really good quote. He said, "We have a lot of men and women who are at risk overseas and who will be over the next few years. When we lower the bar for the rule of engagement..."
Yeah, because he's acting like a cowboy.
Yeah, when we're putting like, them... So what happens when a country just like kind of arbitrarily kills some U.S. citizens, and they use our defense as their defense.
Exactly.
Yeah. They use us as a pretext to do that.
Exactly. There are a lot of places that export illegal narcotics. We could be going to war with a lot of places on the planet Earth if this wasn't a pretextual notion. And I would support what I believe is the text of what the administration is trying to do here, which is a regime change.
Yeah, of course.
This is a bad actor in the Western Hemisphere. He is the financial lifeline for Cuba, which has been a thorn in American sides all over the world for 70 years. It is the foothold in the Western Hemisphere for Russia and China.
Hey, everybody, we have more debate content coming out all throughout December, so make sure you subscribe below. Thank you all for watching. Love you all.